This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host Valerie Wright, and we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it, the jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Let's get it. Get it. Get it. So welcome to this next episode of the Real Royal Family, and this is part two of What Does the World Say? In this episode of the Real Royal Family, what we're going to do is we're going to try to focus on some of the tricky things, the miseducation that we have learned in this world system. All right? So here's another thing. Wearing white after Labor Day. Why would that fashion law, who made that fashion law up? Why would anybody care why I wear and when I wear white? How come it's not blue? How come it's not green? You have to understand, when people do stuff, they just slide stuff in. There's a meeting of the kingdom of darkness, and what are they doing? They're basically saying, how do we stop people from wearing white? White is a color. Priests wear white in the Bible, and they wear white linen. It is a sign of cleanliness. White also reflects, whereas black absorbs. Nothing wrong with black and nothing wrong with white. So why are people telling you where and when to start and stop wearing white? Nobody should tell you what to do. All right. So they wanted us, I believe, to stop wearing linen. Linen is a healing fabric. It got measured by Dr. Heidi Yellen, linen and wool. The Bible says don't wear linen and wool in the same garment. People may sew it together, but don't you wear it, because it can make you sick. So linen is measured at 5,000. Wool was measured at 5,000. The human body, live human body, got measured at 100. Of course, us as believers, we are higher than that. A sick body was measured at 50 or below. I think cotton was measured at 100 or something like that. And so silk used to be higher, but they do a lot of, a lot of chemicals to dye the silk different colors. So I think they wanted us to stop wearing linen, especially white linen, because there's a holiness to it. There's a healing to it. Hospitals used to have linens. Sheets are called linens, even though they're not made out of the fabric made out of the linen plant. So hospitals used to use linens, and there was never a thing called a bed sore in a hospital. Linen is very healing. You wear linen and you wear white whenever you want. No one tells you what to wear. You have your God tell you what to wear. Another thing was a neighbor one time said, hey, you're supposed to have a man walk through your house on New Year's Day. And when the neighbor offered me that, I was like, I asked her why. She said, I don't know. And I'm like, so why are you suggesting I do it? Well, that's something that they say. I really examine everything. Why do they say it? Traditions kill. Try to find out, what are your family's tradition? Like, put in on a Hawaiian lei when you go to visit Hawaii. That is actually a worship to one of the pagan gods of Hawaii. So let's go back having a man walk through your house on New Year's Day. She couldn't tell me why. Traditions kill. Try to find out, what are your family's tradition? Like, put in on a Hawaiian lei when you go to visit Hawaii. That is actually a worship to one of the pagan gods of Hawaii. So let's go back having a man walk through your house on New Year's Day. She couldn't tell me why. And I'm sure if I wanted to spend the time to look it up, it would be some demonic ritual. And since it's not in the Word, I'm not going to spend any time focusing on it anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm spending a lot more time focusing on what is coming out of my mouth, what is going on in my heart, and what is going on in my mind. But we're going to get to that. So the only man that's going to be walking through my house for that purpose is my Lord Jesus or my husband, who is also my Lord. No man is walking through my house, and especially if he can't tell me why and what for, that means it's for a dark reason. Here's another thing people like to say. Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is not just talking to God. Remember I said, what is your mouth for? There is a protocol to how you approach the monarch, the king, your creator, and your savior. How do you talk to a judge when you go to court? How do you speak to your supervisor or the owner of your company? How do you speak to your father, your mother, your husband, your love? How do you speak to a police officer, particularly after you got pulled over and you made an illegal turn? How do you speak to your surgeon, your doctor, a pilot? Because you have a reason for being hurt, an excuse is not a reason. And you might be hurt. You might be fatigued, frustrated, angry, disappointed. It does not give you the right to talk nasty to anyone that God created. That's other people. And especially does not to your creator, who you are to worship and to honor. And he does say, come, let us reason together. But you can understand when something very hurtful and deep happens, why does that equate being nasty or cursing or yelling in disrespect? Why don't we do the opposite when we're hurt? You see, that's another thing that the world teaches us. Oh, just go off the rails when something bad happens. Well, you know, I had my feelings hurt, or I got into a bad car accident, or somebody I love died, so I'm just going to go. And, you know, the answer is too heavy. You don't have the capacity and the weight to answer that question. So he knows that we hurt. He went to the cross. He was born to go to the cross. He knew it was coming his whole life. He didn't go off railing at people. Okay? Learn to do what our kingdom says to do. Do all things without arguing, complaining. That's Philippians 2:14. Don't murmur. Don't go to bed angry. Learn to love people even when they have sabotaged you. And I can tell you, as the black sheep of a black family, it can really get challenging. Especially, I'm having a situation right now where God has given me instructions to pray somebody out of the clutches of hell, and that person has now joined forces with Satan to try and persecute me. But as I understand from my beautiful, my prophet Uber Angel, he said, persecution is simply the expression of Satan's fear. So when you begin to see how our kingdom operates, how the other kingdom operates, so when persecution comes, as opposed to just saying, why are they doing this to me? I'm so nice to them. I'm even praying for them, and I'm trying to get them free, and I gave them this, and blah, blah, blah. You just realize, oh, what I'm doing is working. So what I have chosen to do is I'm going to turn it up. Well, you know, the furnace, 7 times hotter. I'm going to start with 2 times hotter, and I'm just going to keep adding and adding to it. Why don't we do the opposite? And that, so the things that the world teaches us, just remember. So when you're upset, somebody disagrees with you, or they hurt your feelings, or they trigger some form of maybe rejection or abandonment thing, hey, go to your God. Go to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, what's going on, Holy Spirit? Why don't we learn to do the opposite? Okay? When angry, instead of cursing and yelling and being disrespectful, why do that? You are breaking the laws of our kingdom, and what you are doing is you are exiting the protection of the Holy Spirit, because when you grieve the Holy Spirit, he's just going to leave. And so now you're standing there with no covering. And now what you have done is you have entered the devil's playground. And guess what? You have to play by the devil's rules. You know what the devil's rules are? You want to know what the devil's rules are? Let me give you a few scenarios on what the devil's rules are. His rules change. And just like his language and his miseducation, there's always this tricky twisting, and you know, oh, there's this invite, and there's this, you know, campaigning, and then once you do the campaign, the thing that you did and you got enticed to do, he now goes to God in the heavenly courtroom and says, see, they're guilty, they're filthy, they're playing with my stuff. They're doing things that people of my kingdom do. Why are you protecting them? Let me at them. Let me give you some scenarios of what playing in the devil's playground looks like. So scenario one. You see some guy. He likes you. You like him. The word tells you, oh, we're both grown adults. Let's just have sex, as long as you use a condom. So you do it. Scenario one, you end up getting condom breaks, you get AIDS, or you get herpes, which condoms don't protect you from herpes. Or you end up going home and taking the bed bugs that he had in his home or off into your home. Scenario number two, same scenario. You like him, he likes you, quote unquote, you're grown adults, you have sex, and the Bible is old-fashioned, the world says. What difference does it make? So now you have sex with this person, and now you have a soul tie. Or, worse, you have some witches and Satanists. They go to clubs, buy everybody drinks, or they focus on a particular person. And they sleep with you, and guess what? You think you're just having sex, but they are now stealing your destiny. They're stealing your star. Everything in about within 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 months, just starts to spin out of control. Everything starts going downhill. Some deal that you were going to close, all of a sudden the person disappears. They can't stand you. They choose somebody else. Doesn't make any sense. You got, but you co-signed with it. You listened to what the world had to tell you. It didn't tell you the consequences. It only campaigned and told you what the nice little fuzzy-wuzzy part was, and the fuzzy-wuzzy part didn't end out good for you. Scenario three, same scenario. You like him, he likes you, you are both grown adults, so let's just have sex. It's not a big deal. Put on a condom, and then you get a stalker, or you get drugged, or you find out, like some of these young guys are doing, that you were part of some little mental contest that they have, because they're broken and they're full of abandonment and rejection inside. So they do this thing called being pumped and dumped. They'll say whatever they need to say to get sexual satisfaction out of you. They'll call you 5, 6, 7 times a day, take you out to dinner, and then after a few rolls in the hay, ghost. You've been part of a game. Now you think it's part of a physical game, so then you get angry at this guy on Facebook, you curse him out, you tell the other girls about him. You take responsibility because you allowed yourself to play a game in the devil's play field. And his rules don't make any sense. His rules are all lies. He's a father of lies. He cannot tell the truth. Even when a half-truth is a whole lie. So Satan lets you think that sex is physical. It is a spiritual thing. And it is the only spiritual act that one does to their own body, against their own temple. So why is it fashionable to wear claws, you know, to wear women to design their nails and have them sharpen like claws? Why is that fashionable to wear and imitate demons? Because animals' claws aren't like that. Animals' claws are curled under to help them hunt. That's very, very strange, don't you think? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So soul ties, you get your star taken. You get your lifespan exchanged. So you are going to live to 85 years old, and that person is going to die to 35, and you sleep with them and you're 28, you're now living to 35, and they got the rest of your years. You have no idea what they're just telling you. Sex is a sexual organ going into another sexual organ, and that includes, you know, the mouth to the organs and all of that other stuff. There's so much stuff goes on. When that happens, I will do an episode about purity and what happens in real stuff. Do I know how this stuff happens? No. But I know that this stuff does happen. That sometimes when you are in the physical act, in the spiritual, right alongside you, there's a demon collecting your body fluids. They collect male semen and they collect female body ejaculations, and they do very strange things with them in their dark kingdom, and it's pretty darn horrible. Sometimes you will also get someone who you think is a human being. They are either person possessed by a spirit, or they're a spirit took on that person's body. And so now you get a spiritual husband and a wife, and you never get married. Or you get these weird succubus, incubus sexual attacks at night, and it's just quite horrible. And then this is why we teach you how to handle these things on the Real Royal Family. There was this was a while ago, and I haven't seen it in a while. There was a T-shirt that says, "Jesus is my homeboy." Just don't even degrade the one who died on the cross for you and took all your sins, your homeboy. I don't know what homeboy even means. He's not a boy. He's the son of God. And nobody should call you a homeboy either. And what does homeboy mean? You're staying in your home, and what are you doing there? You're supposed to be royal family. You're supposed to be taking territory. You're supposed to be cleaning out your bloodline. You're supposed to be getting everything that's out of your bloodline, out of your life, out. And you're supposed to be living prosperous lives. You're supposed to be have money with a mission to give it to the orphans and the widows, and to build God's kingdom, to get people out of torment. And another one is be the bigger person. What does that mean, be the bigger person? Once again, it's another one of those things. It's like take the high road or just to ignore them. Don't say anything. You need to say something. When people are speaking their word curses towards you, you don't have to answer back, but you at least need to mutter. So muttering is when you are just speaking, just under your breath, just so you can hear it. So someone says something to you, "Oh, you're never going to get promoted. under your breath, you just say, I don't receive that. Promotion doesn't come from you. It comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from the south or the east or the west. It comes from the north. It comes from the Lord. But first of all, you also have to know word, right? So here's another one. It's not you, it's them. It came from this book. I forget what it is, but one of the principles is like, so if somebody's always nasty and they're targeting you, it's because their life is miserable. Don't let it touch you. Don't let their attitude touch you. It has nothing to do with you. Well, it is them, but it is also you. Because when you watch these people, and I have seen these people where, see, on TV, when they show a grump, that person is grumpy to everybody. But in real life, these people who are doing this, they do it, they choose people. They choose people who they believe that they can bully or people who won't fight back because maybe the person has a high moral fiber or they're professional or they're a believer. And Satan sent them to get you to play in his play field. So Satan has hired them to get you to come out of the covering and the protection of the Holy Spirit and to come play on Satan's playing field. So yes, it is them, but it's also you. And they are sent to attack you, try to make you miserable, feel put upon. For me, my pattern has always been that it's been a gang of people. It's called gang stalking. It's called the flying monkey syndrome. When one of them is in a position of leadership and they tell them, get that person. But I can't be got. But what I can do is I can allow what God is doing in this position, in this situation. He wanted to train me. He wanted to make me special forces. And so I had to go through long, hard training. And particularly if you're the one who the whole family picks on, makes fun of, you're the scapegoat, God is using that to teach you authority and a rising rank. Now, I did whine and complain and try to, you know, psychoanalyze everything until I just realized that I got quiet. And I said, you know what? God is trying to teach me something. And boy, did he teach me. So one of the things that I teach you what your mouth is made for is speaking his word. So when those things begin to happen, when you get attacked, especially gang stalked, Psalm 35, remember, this one is not new. Get up at midnight and you read it along with Psalm 91. And at noon, Psalm 35 and Psalm 91, also at noon. And watch them fall. So here's going to be the last one, and then we're going to give you some other things to do, to use with your creative manifestation tool of your mouth. That one thing, people say, well, if they like it, I love it. That is a very dismissive tone. It is a spirit that says to you to stand aside and watch while Satan ravishes people's lives. So here's a principle. Whatever God likes, I like. What God loves, I love. So if you have a family member or maybe someone who you tried to help or a best friend, a coworker, and you try to help them, maybe they're a drug addict or maybe they're, you know, sleeping around or you try to help them get a job, maybe they're in prostitution and you just keep trying to lead them on the right path and they're just nasty to you. Maybe they stole your stuff, they came in your house, they made you got lose your own home because of their behavior. Okay, first you got to learn some boundaries. You don't bring people into your house. And then you have to ask God. There's a level of intercession that won't get you in trouble. You can just pray God's goodness and mercy on it. You don't just idly stand by and say, well, if, so she knows her man is cheating and she yelled at me when I told her about it, so she likes it, I love it. If he's hitting her or his wife is abusing him and I tried to help him and he now turned on me, and so if he likes it, I love it. Don't let Satan use you that way. Don't be okay with Satan winning that soul. learn to pray. And a simple thing from over here, you don't have to intercede certain bloodlines. You are not to intercede. That person has to learn to fight for themselves. But you can pray God's goodness and mercy on them. Okay? You could also say, Father, forgive them for their sin, for they know not what they do. Cover that person with the blood of Jesus, going all the way back to Adam and their seed to 10 generations. What that does is any demonic entity that is attached to them no longer has a right to be attached to them. And then you can also continue that stealth prayer, because all of the spiritual warfare gets you on the radar of the kingdom of darkness, but this one doesn't. And then you can bind, cage, and chain all of the occult practices, curses, and rituals that were done on them in the mighty name of Jesus. And you could say, every door Jesus has closed remains closed. Every door that Jesus opened remains open. And that is a wonderful prayer that you could say for somebody else without getting into spiritual warfare, okay? And here's some other things that you also can do with your mouth. You begin to speak life into your mind instead of gossiping about them or just repeating dirty jokes or what happened to you, ruminating about how someone is doing you wrong. Hey, I get it. But one of the things you need to do with your mouth is just start saying, I am blessed. I am God's glory. I am the tree that God planted by the rivers of water. I bear fruit. I bear good fruit in season. And whatever I put my hand to prospers. You could say Jeremiah 29:11, right? You could say 2 Corinthians 8:9, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake became poor, so that I through his poverty might be rich. So begin speaking God's word about yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. You can mutter it just underneath your breath. Train your mind to say wonderful things about yourself and what you are expecting God to do for you. So thank you for tuning in to the rhythm of heaven and to the beat of the palace, the royal palace that we are going to. Thank you for joining the Real Royal Family. Go to realroyalfamily.com. There's lots of tools there. And I will see you next week. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone, then it's crown. We put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.